أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaitan, who has been expelled from God's kingdom of special mercy. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We humbly ask for God's guidance and grace because He is the All-Perfect One, the All-Merciful One, and the One whose special grace and mercy is available for the believers and the good doers. Alhamdulillah. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. And we send our salutations and greetings on the Holy Prophet and on his holy progeny, who are the best guides for mankind till the end of time. Elders, scholars, brothers, sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. We were discussing Dua Kumail, and as an introductory reminder, it's important to remember that this dua is an extraordinary dua because the person who requests it is a member of the elite group of companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that is Kumail ibn Ziyad. And the fact that the dua being requested to be taught and dictated is also associated with Khidr alayhi salam, who occupies a status of being a teacher of one of the major prophets. And also Imam alayhi salam, when he instructs and dictates the dua, says that if a person is to recite this dua even once in his lifetime, it has the power to transform his whole life. The dua can be broken up into themes, into sections. We are in the second section where we express our utter need and desperation. Allahumma inni as'aluka su'ala man ishtaddat faqatu wa anzala bika 'inda ash-shada'idi hajata wa 'azama fi ma 'indaka raghbatu. Allahumma 'azama sultanuka wa 'ala makanuka وخفي مكرك وقهر وغلب قهرك وظهر أمرك وجرت قدرتك ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك. The previous section was an expression of our utter need and desperation and our hope in God. This phrase is an expression of fear from God. We are basically expressing our belief and our realization of His absolute majesty. O Lord, I know You are the Master. You have total authority, Sultan. In fact, Your Sultan and Your majesty is great and absolute. Allahumma, azuma sultanuk wa ala makanuk. And your makan and your status is high and lofty and elevated. These two qualities, that Allah is elevated, is lofty, is exalted, Ali, ala makanuk, and the quality that He is great and grand and majestic, azim, these two are important qualities. So important that they have been incorporated into our salah. Subhana rabbiyal azim and subhana rabbiyal a'la. And therefore it's appropriate for us to pause here and to remind ourselves of these two beautiful names of God. Next slide, please. In the Quran, there are several references to God's majesty, His grandeur, His greatness. One example is in Surah Hajj, chapter 22, ayah number 1. Ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqu rabbakum, inna zalzalata as-sa'ati shay'un 'azim. Excuse me, can you just come here? O people, be mindful of your Lord. Asafir. O people, be mindful of your Lord, who is great, who is majestic, and you want evidence of His majesty? Inna zalzalat as-sa'ati shay'un 'azim. Surely the earthquake that shall strike the earth towards the end of time is a terrible, great event. One way of appreciating that He is majestic and He is great is to see His display of power, the awesome power, the fearsome power which is expressed. When a quake strikes, gives us an idea. It's just a small manifestation. It's not His total and absolute grandeur. So just a quick reminder. If you look at the history of earthquakes that have struck, one of the biggest and the most devastating was the one in 1964, which struck, the epicenter was in Prince William Sound in Alaska, March 64. On the Richter scale, it was measured to be 9.2. That's a mega quake. Or, depending on another estimate, the second one which struck was in Chile, the Pacific Ocean off the coast of Chile in 1960, measured on the Richter scale to be 9.5. The damage that was caused was not only off the coast in the ocean, but the ripples spread, and it spread all over the coastline of South America. And secondly, it set off a giant tsunami which traveled 6,000 miles across the Pacific and slapped away much of downtown Hilo, Hawaii, destroying 500 buildings and 60 people. Not only across the Pacific, but also similar waves claimed victims as far away as Japan and Philippines. That's the most devastating in recent history. In past history, recorded history of course, there's the one that struck Portugal, next slide please, Lisbon, on All Saints Day, November the 1st, 1755, that is as recorded in history. Just before 10 o'clock in the morning, the city was hit by a sudden sideways lurch, measured now, because of the effects, to be on the scale of 9 on the Richter scale. And the city was shaken ferociously for a full 7 minutes. Not a few seconds, not a half a minute. For a full 7 minutes. Such that the water of the harbor, it literally withdrew and then it rushed back. When it rushed back, it came back as a wave as high as 50 feet. Average size. What is the height? 5-6 feet? It's 50 feet waves. The second strike, when at last the motion ceased of the first strike, survivors enjoyed just 3 minutes of rest. And then a second shock hit, which is a little less severe than the first one. And then 2 hours later, the final and the third shock struck. 60,000 people dead. Every building in Lisbon City, for miles across, destroyed. The appearance of disasters, we call them disasters, but the Quran mentions them as the display of the awesome, fearsome power and majesty of God, which human beings simply don't have the power to resist and stop, whatever their technology. Next slide, please. Another evidence that God is Azeem are those verses in the Quran which talk about His Arsh. And the Arsh is then qualified to be the Azeem, the throne which is great. Arsh here meaning the symbol of power, of authority. So for example, in Surah Mu'minun chapter 23, and in Surah Naml chapter 27, and also finally in Surah Tawbah, the Arsh is mentioned with this quality of being great. In chapter 23, Surah Mu'minun, Allah addresses mankind in general and says, but don't you realize that there is a creator and that this creator is majestic? Chapter 23, beginning from ayah number 84, Qul, O Prophet, address them, ask them, لِمَنِ الْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Sometimes people are in slumber. They need to be woken up. And the way to wake them up is to question them. Sometimes they assume things as if that's the norm, that's natural. So Allah is teaching the Prophet, question them, ask them, to whom does the earth belong? And whoever is on the earth, if you have firm conviction. Don't give me your conjectures and hypotheses and theories and speculations. Give me firm, logical, rational basis. To whom does the earth belong? Anyone who claims other than God cannot prove it. Because everywhere there will be evidence of power which is beyond their control. And chance and nature cannot explain this. So if the idols don't have power, if the kings don't have power, if any other entity that we believe is great doesn't have power, if blind, senseless, lifeless matter, chance doesn't have power, and if it cannot be by itself, then who does it belong to other than God? Question whose answer is not given. Think about it. قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ السَّبْعَ وَرَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. Ask them, forget the earth, what about the heavens? Who controls them? Who governs them? Rabb as the nourisher, the provider, the sustainer of the seven heavens, and therefore of the grand and the great throne. سَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّهِ. They will admit, they will confess, yes, not these idols, not these powerful kings, not any other power. It belongs to God and God alone. أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. So why don't you respond submissively to Him? قُلْ مَنْ بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ يُجِيرُ وَلَا يُجَارُ عَلَيْهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Say, to whom does belong the absolute authority, malakut, the hidden, the power that penetrates beyond the physical into the spiritual realm? Who does it belong to? Who is the one who protects but who cannot be protected against? If He plans to punish, nobody can stop. If you need protection, He is the best provider. Who is it other than God? And everyone in his lifetime shall face with situations, with challenges, with circumstances where they will be made and forcibly experience, and they will confess their own powerlessness and helplessness. Allah is questioning your conscience. Ask, who is there other than God who can protect you and from whom nobody can protect you? Yujiru wa la yujaru alayh. Sayaquluna lillah. They will admit, the conscience will say, yes, Allah. Qul fa anna tusharun. Then how come you are bewitched away from God? How come you are duped and deceived away from God? مَتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ وَلَدٍ وَمَا كَانَ مَعَهُ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِذَنْ لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَٰهٍ بِمَا خَلَقْ وَلَعَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ. Tell them, God cannot have taken a son. He's so absolute and unlimited in His power. There is no birth from Him. There is no second to Him. And tell them, if in case God has a second and a third and a partner, whether equal or subordinate, tell them that the nature of power is such that whichever entity to whom the power belongs, they will begin to compete. لَعَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. whenever a nation assumes a superpower status, we all know, we all saw during the time of the Cold War, the rivalry between the superpowers. Whenever there is power, there's competition. Subhanallah amma yasifoon. With competition, there is chaos and corruption. But you find the universe working beautifully. There is no second partner unto him. عالم الغيب والشهادة فتعالى الله عما يشركون. Elevated is he and lofty is he from having any partner. Lofty is he in his perfection and so unlimited and therefore no partner. عظيم. And the same is repeated in Surah Naml chapter 27, ayah 26. Hudhud was sent by Sulaiman on a patrol. When she comes back, she reports to Sulaiman. Sulaiman asks, how come you're late today? And then she brings the report, beginning from ayah number 23. Inni wajadtu imra'atan tamlikuhum. I saw a people being governed by a woman. Wa utiyat min kulli shay. Oh, she's been blessed, and that country has been blessed with a lot of things. وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ. And I observed physically she's got a huge throne, great power. وَجَدْتُهَا وَقَوْمَهَا يَسْجُدُونَ لِلشَّمْسِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. But the only problem is they worship the sun. They worship a power other than God. Not only her, but her people. Apparently her people are following her. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ وَأَعْمَالَهُمْ. And the devil has worked upon them. He has tempted them, misguided them. And whatever evil they do, they have come to accept it as good, as normal and as good, because of the devil's deception. فَصَدَّهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ. And therefore they have deviated. فَهُمْ لَا يَهْتَدُونَ. It seems these people cannot be guided. That was Hudhud's conclusion, the analysis which turned out to be wrong, because later on Sulaiman does convince her and she does convert, and then the people do accept the faith. Allah yasjudu lillah. The deception of the devil and the attraction of evil was so strong that they refused to make sajda to God. Alladhi yukhriju al-khab'a fi as-samawati wal-ard. Why shouldn't you make sajda to God? He's the one who removes from the hidden and brings to apparent whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. Why should I not make sajda to this power? وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُخْفُونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ. And he knows your hidden and what you make apparent. اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. He's the one whose throne is grand. There is no power other than him. So, Allahumma azuma sultanuk. O Lord, I admit that your majesty is absolute and great. What is the evidence for that? The display of your power. What is the evidence for that? It is the arsh. Arsh as a symbol of his power, of his authority, of his majesty. Next slide, please. وَعَلَى مَكَانُكْ. O Lord, your station is lofty and high and elevated and exalted. Makan obviously here doesn't mean a place or space. It's not that Allah is located somewhere above. هُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَهٌ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَهٌ. Surah Zukhruf, chapter 43, ayah number 84. Allah says, He's not only the Lord who deserves to be worshipped, not only on the earth, but is also the Lord who deserves to be worshipped in the heavens. He has got no space that limits him. It's not the earth and the heavens, everywhere. Or in Surah Baqarah chapter 2, Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Wherever you turn, be it the east or the west, east and west is an example, wherever you turn, be it the north or south, be it above and below, wherever you turn, Allah is present there. Allah's grace, power, wisdom is apparent everywhere. There is no space that confines him or limits him. Or in Surah Mujadila chapter 58, ayah number 7. There is no space, there is no place that confines him. In chapter 58, it is expressed in this way, that he's everywhere, wherever you may be. Even in the most hidden places, he is there. Alam tara, don't you see? Don't you reflect? Don't you ponder? أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. God knows whatever is in the heavens and the earth. Why shouldn't he know? Because he's everywhere. If he's everywhere, he's present. If he's present, he's witnessing. And therefore he knows. يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى. This surah discusses najwa in detail, and therefore the unlimited knowledge of God has been expressed with an example of Najwa. Najwa is a private gathering. If there's a public place, a few individuals, two, three, sit aside and start talking privately against the public, that becomes Najwa. ما يكون من نجوى ثلاثتين إلا هو رابعهم. Even if there's three people, God is the fourth. If there are three, God is the fourth. God is not one of three. God is fourth of the three. وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ. There's not a group of five, but that Allah is the sixth. وَلَا أَدْنَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Nor a group smaller than that. Two, but that Allah will be the third. وَلَا أَكْثَرَ. Not that group bigger than five, but that Allah will be with them. More than six, so Allah will be the seventh. إِلَّا هُوَ مَعَهُمْ أَيْنَمَا كَانُوا ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. But that Allah is with them wherever they may be. Because Allah by nature is unlimited in space and time, therefore His exalted position makes Him ever present in all spaces and all times. He is the creator of space. When Imam Ali alayhi salam was asked, where was God before space, before the earth and the heavens were created? Where was He? Aina su'alun an makanin. Imam alayhi salam says, your question is wrong. Where was God before the heavens and the earth? Imam says, your question is wrong. Because where implies space. When you're talking about a spatial entity, an entity which is confined in space, that's where the question is valid. Where? وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَا مَكَانَ. But God was there and there was no space. So to ask where, invalid, incorrect. It's just like asking, what is the blood pressure of oranges? Oranges don't have blood pressure. Question invalid. Allah is ever present, wasababu is unlimited. And because He's ever present, therefore there is no space that confines Him. Wherever you may be, He is with you. He is the Lord in the heavens, He is the Lord on the earth. So this ala makanuk is so that Allah is above. In space He is above. No, He is above space. He's the creator of space. And therefore you find that ala is used in the Quran in Surah Zukhruf chapter 43. Allah is described as Ali. Elsewhere also is described as A'la. In Ayah number 3 of chapter 43, He is described as Ali in the sense that He is so lofty that He is unreachable. حَامِيمُ وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينِ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ وَإِنَّهُ فِي أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ لَدَيْنَا لَعَلِيٌّ حَكِيمٌ. This Quran, before it was revealed in this book form, written form, verbal form, word form, before that it was with us in Ummul Kitab. In the Ummul Kitab it was Hakim, it was compact, or it was full of wisdom. In the Ummul Kitab, which is with us, a level of our knowledge, it was Ali. It was lofty, unreachable, inaccessible. Now in the word form, it has become accessible. So Ali is not a description of space, is a description of the non-material, unlimited loftiness and exaltedness of the Lord. The same thing is also repeated in Surah Luqman, chapter 31, ayah number 30. ذلك بأن الله هو الحق وأن ما يدعون من دونه الباطل وأن الله هو العلي الكبير. Allah is Ali al-Azim. Allah is Ali al-Kabir also. This ayah number 30, in fact, is related to all the verses before that, beginning from ayah number 25, 6, 7, 8, 9. The conclusion of that is ayah number 30. Very quickly. Ayah number 25 says, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ. Who created the heavens and the earth? 1. 2. In ayah 26, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. To whom belongs whatever is in the earth and in the heavens. He is all independent. He is all praiseworthy. 2. 3. وَلَوْ أَنَّ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٍ. Towards the end, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. He is all majestic, his power is irresistible, and he is all wise. 4. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. God is all knowing, all seeing, all watching, all hearing. 5. أَنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. 6. Conclusion. This Lord with all these qualities that have been mentioned, that He is the Creator, that He is all-knowing, that He is all-watching, that He is all-independent, that He is all-wise, that He is praiseworthy, if you want to describe in two words, Ali. This Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la should remind us of all these names. The conclusion therefore, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. If this is your Lord, the reason is because He is the absolute reality. Everything other than Him is false. It's just an appearance. It's empty within. وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ. You follow the idol, or your desires, or a dictator, or the dunya. In its core, it's empty. It's got nothing. It's just got an appearance. The absolute reality is God alone. Why? أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. He is alone who is the elevated one, the lofty one. The one word that can be taken to summarize these different names, Al-Ali, or even in a higher form, Al-A'la. Imam alayhi salam, finally, in Nahjul Balagha, in sermon number 49, describes this loftiness and exaltedness in these words. Alhamdulillahi alladhi batana khafiyyat al-umur. I'll skip the beginning part. Sabaqa fil 'uluwi fala shay'a a'la minhu. Allah is exalted. There is no one other exalted like Him. In fact, His exaltedness has reached its peak of perfection, such that فَلَا أَعْلَى مِنْهُ. There is no other power more exalted than Him. وَقَرُبَ فِي الدُّنُوِّ فَلَا شَيْءَ أَقْرَبَ مِنْهُ. Many things are close to us, physically or spiritually, but God is the closest. There is no entity more proximate and more close than Allah. He's very high, unreachable, yet He's very close, unescapable. Amazing contradiction. Distant, yet near. Near, yet distant. فَلَا إِسْتِعْلَاؤُهُ بَعَدَهُ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِّنْ خَلْقِهِ وَلَا قُرْبُهُ سَاوَاهُمْ فِي الْمَكَانِ بِهِ. Neither is His loftiness and exaltedness such that he becomes disconnected to his creation, nor is his closeness and proximity such that they can touch him and see him and feel him. He's far yet near. He is near yet far. The reason being, he's unlimited. He's absolute in his perfection. If he's absolute in his perfection, therefore, because he's unlimited, we simply cannot properly, completely, totally imagine what he is. Therefore, very far, we can't reach him. Yet, because he's unlimited in perfection, he's constantly showing himself with his power and grace and mercy and blessings. It is not possible not to see him. Very near. Unlimited, therefore unreachable. Unlimited, therefore unescapable. When an individual reaches this point of realization of this quality of God, there is no response but that of tasbih. Subhana, glory be to you. Lofty are you, I can't reach you. But I, at the same time, I praise you. You are reachable because you are accessible in the sense that I see all your signs around me. So you notice in Surah, next slide please. In Surah Bani Israel, this response of tasbih to the recognition that Allah is Ali and A'la is mentioned in these words. Chapter 17, ayah number 42 and 44. قل لو كان معه آلهة كما يقولون. O Prophet, argue with them, debate with them, ask them to reason out. If there was a power other than God as they are claiming, idols, إذن لَبْتَغَوْا إِلَى ذِي الْعَرْشِ سَبِيلًا. Power brings rivalry. They would definitely try to take some power away from the one who owns the throne. Subhanah, glory be to him, he's unreachable. وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ. And lofty is he from what they speak. They don't know the logical implication of what they say. عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. Definitely is much high than what they even imagine about him. This thing cannot apply to him, it's beyond their imagination. And therefore, your natural reaction to the realization of his unlimited power, therefore incomprehensibility, we cannot imagine who he is. The response should be tasbih. If you don't make tasbih, the whole of the creation is making his tasbih. تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالسَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ وَإِنْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَلِيمًا غَفُورًا. Every entity in creation, be it physical or non-physical, be it material or non-material, has a certain degree of consciousness and realization whereby they glorify their Lord because they appreciate and realize His exaltedness, and therefore they make tasbih. When we go to sajda, we go gradually, step by step. We start Allahu Akbar, and then we recite the Quran. The Quran is a manifestation from that Ummul Kitab, which is Aliyun Hakim. The loftiness and the exaltedness of the message strikes us, our mind understands, our heart is affected. Once we grasp and realize and remind ourselves of the majesty of the Lord, Allahu Akbar, we spontaneously down go to ruku'. In ruku', we express Subhana Rabbiyal Azim wa bihamdih. But we realize that no, His majesty and His greatness is much beyond that. So the next step then is sajda, where we don't say He's Azim, we don't say He's Ali, we don't say He's Ali, we say He's A'la. فلا شيء أعلى منه. There is no entity more lofty, more exalted, more high in all the qualities of perfection. All those names that were mentioned in Surah Luqman. There is no entity higher than that. And therefore, with everything else in the creation that is making your tasbih, I also voluntarily, spontaneously, willingly, willfully, I go down in sajda and I also express Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdih. Allahumma azuma sultanuka wa ala makanuk. O Lord, help us realize your exaltedness and help us to be constantly in the state of glorification. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.